So we're going to talk about something extremely interesting, very strange that now there's going to be scores. There are e-scores are one of the scores for measuring the buying power and the consumer value of people online who are purchasing goods and services. So we all have an e-score. And it's invisible to us, which really isn't fair because we're being judged based on it. It doesn't fall under the usual regulatory because it's not like a credit score where you're being denied financing because of it. So actually, the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau is concerned about these scores because they're not available to us and we're being judged by them. So what happens is if you buy a lot of luxury goods, or you purchase a lot of items for your pets, you might wind up with a higher score and be treated better when you're looking for information about an online purchase. So what it's doing is it's really pigeonholing people.
But with that, Jerry, is that discrimination?
No, I mean it is discrimination, but it's legal discrimination.
At
It's
this
not
point.
based
Oh, so
on a
you can
protected class.
legally discriminate and say, well, I'm not going to spend time, as much time with so and so because they don't spend enough money.
Yeah, you can certainly discriminate based on, financial status, financial wherewithal, as long as it is in a protected class or it becomes a pretext for a protected class. When you were just talking about this, Tracy, I was starting to think to myself, well, if some of these buying habits become a pretext for a particular class, then you would have a problem. For example, if they talked about the buying habits that maybe were more prevalent in one ethnic group than another and treated those people better, then that definitely would be a
Right.
violation. So it is an interesting point, Dottie, that you bring up. But in and of itself, on its face, it wouldn't be.
Yeah, so you can they can view you and measure your score based on your occupation, your salary, your home valuation, how you spend on luxury items and your pets. This is all part of how they measure who you are in terms of your e-score.
So
So,
I would assume that you would get a high score, Tracy, if you spend a lot of money.
yes. So the other thing is,
Wait, do they care if you spend a lot of money and you're in debt? They wouldn't know that,
I
would
don't
they?
know. And that's the other thing. It's invisible exactly how it works. But what's interesting is if you have a better e-score and you call to get information, you might right away get routed to a higher level service rep and get really good information as opposed to someone with a low score who might be shipped to a call center in India or wait 30 minutes on hold and wind up hanging up the phone. So really, it's like it's pigeonholing people into this category that may really affect them and cause them to have to get higher rates on certain types of credit cards. Maybe they won't be offered the better credit cards with the lower, longer rates. They'll get just regular credit cards instead of platinum cards. So it's like bringing up a lot of issues, and that's why the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is concerned about it. But I thought what was really amazing was how this eBureau, which is one of the score companies, began. The owner of this company, his name is Gordy Meyer, worked for Finger Hut for the catalog department, and they started to try to evaluate which consumers were better risks. So they found that people who filled out the application with a pen instead of a pencil
Really?
were a better risk.
That's very scientific.
Isn't this
Very
interesting? And
scientific.
also,
I don't believe it though. I mean, that's kind of like a really.
if your phone number was valid, that was another better risk. Or
Right.
if they called and it was disconnected,
Well,
obviously that's a bad
obviously you don't have to be a
sign.
rocket scientist to figure out if you have a disconnected phone, maybe you didn't pay your bill.
And the other thing is your middle initial. If you use a middle initial, you're a better risk than somebody without a middle
Well, I
initial.
don't have a middle name,
Interesting.
so I wouldn't have been a good risk.
So it's very interesting how this guy started with this whole idea because he worked in the catalog department of Finger Hut. I thought that was really
We see,
amazing.
I guess, Tracy, that goes to show you that you can be an entrepreneur just about with any
Anything.
idea you
Yeah.
have enough,
Absolutely.
right?
Absolutely. So make sure, if you want to have a good e-score, that you're purchasing a lot of luxury items Even if you return them, purchase them, right?
Right. Fill everything out with a pen and use your middle initial. Those are
or
some really key
up.
Things.
Or
right, but
one
those
up.
Were from a long time ago when he worked. 30 years ago when he was at Finger Hut. That's how they...
And I'm going to refer this to Tracy, but I just want to tell you, when you co-sign for somebody else, besides the fact that if they don't pay, that's your credit they're ruining.
Yes, and you're going to also own that debt. I mean, if you co-sign, it's like a joint account. Both of the individuals who signed for this loan, if it's a mortgage, are responsible, and their credit is going to be impacted. So on the credit end of it, what happens a lot of the time, this happened just the other day in my office, we had a client who was in his 80s and he was buying a home in Florida and he was trying to get a mortgage. And he had co-signed for his son on an automobile. And the son was late many, many times. And we were helping fix his credit because he had some errors on the credit report, the father. And we fixed his credit. His score went up dramatically. He was ready to go and get this loan and be approved at a good interest rate. And his son's late again on the automobile loan, like a month before he was going for this mortgage. Right. So he was denied the funding. Now, he's also responsible for the debt of that car if his son's defaults, just like on a mortgage if you co-sign. But what's worse also on a mortgage is if you co-sign, person's late, it's on your credit, that ruins your credit. But you're also, you may not be approved for the mortgage based on having this debt with the mortgage, this extra money that you
but
have to pay.
But what happened, this is someone I know very well, they helped their brother or their sister out, they co-signed. Then they went to get a refinance.
And there you go.
Okay? And they were mad because they couldn't get it. But what happened is they showed too much debt because they showed the debt of the brother. So then they were showing letters to show that they don't, that they don't pay.
But
in other
words, doesn't matter.
Here's what they did. They co-signed, but this guy co-signed for his brother. But he didn't ever really pay the payments. The brother paid him, and they weren't late, but still... He showed that they still count that as half his debt.
Right, because if the brother defaults and stops paying on that loan, he is still liable for the loan. So his brother could go to bankruptcy and not even live in the house anymore, and he still is liable for that money.
Right.
Jerry, do you have something to say about that?
No, absolutely. What you're saying is absolutely correct, and it's a mistake that a lot of people make. You know, if one of your relatives needs a loan instead of co-signing, consider just either loaning it directly to them so you have control over it.
Smart.
But because a lot of times you don't even know that they're late on the payment.
Exactly.
And you wouldn't know, but it's not like that. It decreases your borrowing power.
Absolutely.
So if not only that your credit could be ruined, if you need money or you need to borrow money, now your borrowing power is decreased. And so, therefore, you really have to think hard, really very hard, whether you want to do that or not. My advice is to everyone, think about it before you do it. I'm not saying you shouldn't or you should. You just need to think about it.
If you do co-sign, you want to make sure you pay the bill, not the other person.
Exactly. Right.
Have them send the check to you every month, and you make the payment on time. This way you're in control.
That's great. Don't let them pay. That's great advice because you never know if they pay.
Better yet, Jerry's advice was even better. Lend them the money and it's not on paper, so you don't have to worry about it being on your credit at all. That's even better.